SBS Radio.
With me today is Dr. Julie Sladen, and we are going to talk about one of the most famous topics for every age group, I think, diet. Good day, Dr. Julie Sladen.
Hi, Meredith. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time. It says here that in Australia, we spend $13.6 billion a year on healthy eating. That's a lot of money, isn't it?
That is an awful lot of money. And the worrying thing is that our rates of obesity and diabetes and cardiovascular disease aren't coming down. In fact, some of these are going up. It's a real concern.
Despite the fact that 2.3 million say that they are always on a diet.
Yeah, that is very much a concern. And what that reflects is that people, you know that there's a problem and they're trying to fix it. But I think there's a lot of confusion out there and conflicting advice about, you know, what actually is good nutrition.
In general, when people go on a diet, the first thing they would cut out are, from my experience or from what I hear, are carbs and sugar.
Yep, that's a very good place to start. I think we are starting to realise how inflammatory, you know, sugar has been in the diet, and it's really, you know, linked to, you know, these chronic diseases like, you know, diabetes, heart disease, and, you know, obesity as well.
But there's always that thing wherein there's good and bad sugar, isn't it?
Look, you know, as far as like simple table sugar goes, I don't really think that there's any good one of those. But sugar that your body uses, you know, comes from carbohydrates, and carbohydrates can be either simple or complex. And so you have, you know, the sugars that you get from, say, for example, vegetables, you know, especially above the ground grown vegetables are, you know, they're full of nutrients. So, you know, those kind of carbohydrates are actually, you know, where you should be looking for your carbohydrates, you know, looking at vegetables, you know, for that source of energy.
I guess what I was referring to was the naturally occurring sugars.
Yeah, naturally occurring sugars are often a better choice as well, because they have, you know, nutrients associated with them. But it's also, you know, it's important to know that, you know, these things need to be, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, having a whole, like a cup of honey, for example, is necessarily going to do you any favours. You know, we like more to focus on, you know, providing people with a whole food, you know, nutrient-dense diet, and, you know, simple sugars like that, which provide lots of energy and a certain amount of micronutrients, you know, being from the sort of the natural sugar source. But that's not where we should be getting our main source of energy from, because the body actually loves to run on other sources of fuel, fat being one of them.
I was going to say, and the next thing that people would cut down on are fats. So people would start buying low-fat milk, low-fat yogurt. But all these things that we adjust our diet to, the fact remains that we are still, in general, unhealthy.
This is true. I mean, often when people reduce the fat in their diet, by default, what happens is that the carbohydrates traditionally go up. And this is where we've seen, you know, the rising levels of obesity and diabetes and cardiovascular disease over the last 30 years, because it's kind of been on the back of, you know, those guidelines that told us to eat low fat. And now what we're beginning to understand is that, you know, fat's probably not the bad guy that we thought it was. In fact, there's good evidence to say that it isn't, and that it's sugar has been causing a lot of inflammation, a lot of these chronic disease processes. And so when people, you can't cut out both carbohydrates and fats and then live on protein, that's not a good way to eat. And so by reducing those carbohydrates in your diet and living on, you know, a diet of healthy carbohydrates, so for example from vegetables, and you know, healthy fat sources of fats and good sources of protein is where people need to be able to get their nutrition from.
So it's a very complex but simple issue, isn't it? Eating healthy and living healthy.
Well, it is when you think about it. I mean, you know, people get confused because there are so many different diets and so much conflicting advice, but it's actually a really important time that we come back to basics, you know, and the basics is actually eating whole foods, moving away from processed foods, because it's processed foods, you know, where all of these things are hidden, like the unhealthy trans fats, or they traditionally have high levels of sugar. And processed foods are a big source of this inflammation and chronic disease that we're seeing. If we can go back to eating the way our ancestors ate, you know, the levels of cardiovascular disease just were not really heard of, even, you know, late in the 19th century. And it's only this century and last that where we've just seen this explosion, you know, based on what's happened to the way we produce and make and eat our food.
I guess the fresher, the simpler, the better.
Absolutely. And, you know, eating what's local and seasonal. So we really encourage people to get out to their local farmers market. And these are popping up all over the country now, which is great. You know, eating organic where possible. And, you know, I mean, and it's actually delicious to eat, you know, fresh food that's in season, you know, and that you've prepared yourself. And this might take a little bit of extra time, but the investment pays off and is worth dividends as far as your long-term health is concerned.
And I guess we all should consider that there's no one-size-fits-all thing to this, isn't it?
That's absolutely true. You know, we're all individuals, and each person has their own unique makeup, and also, you know, the things that really affect what our body likes to, you know, run on will relate back to, you know, what are our activity levels, you know, what are our genetics, you know, and also just other environmental factors. And this comes under a term, bioindividuality. So it's really important for people to listen to their bodies about, you know, what kind of foods does their body seem to run better on, you know, when do they feel energized, you know, when do they get that slump, what kind of cravings do they have, and often the cravings can be related to processed foods, and which are actually designed to, you know, fuel those cravings. So just listening to what your body is saying to you, and also the health issues that you've developed often reflect our dietary choices as well, and the strains that our body is underneath as far as nutrition goes.
And one of the things that I've observed is that as we get older or more mature, it's harder to lose that extra pound or kilo.
Absolutely. You know, people often put this down to sort of their metabolism slowing down, but I think it's more complex than that. You know, as we get older, our system is, you know, coping with more and more factors in the environment, and we're less able to, you know, deal with the insults that we throw at our body, you know, where we used to be able to eat whatever we wanted and not put on weight or have any effects, like, you know, waking up feeling achy in the morning. As we get older, we start to feel these effects, and those are the kind of things that people need to be listening for. And if they can't shift that weight, you know, start asking the question, well, why? You know, getting to the root cause of their own personal why is the most important part of the journey, because, you know, health conditions don't occur for no reason at all. There's a cause, and often it'll take a little while to unravel that, but I really want to encourage people to just become proactive and really curious and start looking into, you know, why they might have the certain problems that they have. And there's a lot of information out there. If they want to start educating themselves, at the Nutritional Therapy Association of Australia, we've got some resources and recommended reading online, and you can go to the website www.ntaaustralia.com.au, or take a look at our Facebook page, NTA Australia, and we're posting all the time interesting articles and resources where people can, you know, find out some more information that might help them on their health journey.
And I guess the most important thing to remember is that as we get older, we should never forget to be or to keep moving and staying active.
Absolutely. You know, our bodies were designed to move, and we need to move every day. And you can't underestimate the importance of, you know, good hydration. A lot of people are walking around in a chronic state of dehydration. Also, getting adequate rest and sleep is like, you know, the best freebie of all, I think. And just also addressing those stress levels, because living constantly stressed is not good for you, and it's one of the biggest, has one of the biggest health effects in the long term.
So an active, healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
It's easy to say, but it's hard to do.
This is right, but, you know, I think every little step counts. Making little changes, you know, every day or every week as you can manage them is what gets you from, you know, where you are now to where you want to be.
So little steps, baby steps.
Baby steps.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Sladden.
That's great. Thank you for your time, Meridel.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.